7:22 on this Monday, Business for Breakfast. Mark Asher with you. It's my pleasure to welcome our next guest aboard, Steve Sander, the president of the Associated General Contractors of America, going to talk to us about the so-called PRO Act. Steve, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Great, thanks. How are you?
I'm doing well. Hey, before we start, explain to us what the Associated General Contractors
sure.
of America does.
Yes, we are the nation's largest commercial construction trade association. We represent the type of contractors that do everything essentially but build houses. So if you had a bad experience with somebody who put a deck on your house, it wasn't one of my members. And we have 27,000 members across the country. We have 89 chapters as well. We have two great chapters right there in the state of Arizona.
Well, cool. Well, we appreciate it. But this morning we want to get to something. I feel like, legislation's being pushed through all the time, and a lot of us mm-hmm. in the general public it goes unnoticed, right? And mm-hmm. and either there's one side that likes it, but every legislation out there, there's always going to be one side that doesn't like it. And that's what we're talking about today, this so-called PRO Act. Mm-hmm. Tell us a little bit about the premise behind it and why you feel it's so bad.
Sure. Well, the PRO Act, the PRO stands for Protect the Right to Organize. And I think as a representative of the business community, I should acknowledge and stipulate that employees in the United States have a federal right to organize, to bargain collectively, to choose a union to bargain on their behalf with their employer. And there is no effort on the business community to interfere with that right because it's, in fact, illegal. What the PRO Act does, though, under the guise of saying we want to make it easier for employees to choose a union and have that union be their bargaining representative, it goes to extremes and would give unions unprecedented economic weapons far beyond what they have now that have the impact to seriously damage the economy. And in Arizona's instance, completely gut and undermine your state right to work law.
Well, that's not a good thing, obviously. As we look, I mean, I guess my question would be, how do they not see the damage that could be done, especially out here in Arizona?
Yeah. The administration and the proponents of the bill, believe that if we have more employers organized, that will uplift employees and create better wages and benefits, and that we can help grow a bigger and stronger middle class. The fact of the matter is that that's not the key to growing a middle class. Economic growth is the key to growing a middle class. And if you interfere with that growth and you try to limit that growth, you'll get less growth. And that's what the PRO Act would do. And if you'd like, I'll give you a brief example of what I mean by
Please.
That.
Yeah. Of course.
Yes. So people ask me, what's the worst thing about the PRO Act? And, other than what I've just mentioned about the impact on Arizona's right to work status, there are two things, two other things that should be of concern to your listeners. One is it would allow for picketing and strikes at any time and for any reason. So a union represents employees, at a widget factory, and for any reason they can go on strike, which contradicts current law, which limits the ability to strike only when collective bargaining has reached impasse or the employer has committed an unfair labor practice and the union wants to shut that employer down in retribution for that. The second thing it does is more complicated, it's called removing the prohibitions against secondary boycotts. And essentially what that means is under current law, a union cannot put pressure on a secondary employer because they have a dispute with the primary employer and they are trying to get that secondary employer to cease doing business with that primary employer. And a very brief description of how that would operate. Let's assume you have a hospital and the hospital contracts with a laundry service, a second employer, to provide linens and scrubs towels to the hospital. And let's assume that that laundry service is a non-union firm. So under the PRO Act, a union would have the ability, let's say the union that would ordinarily represent employees who do that type of work, they go to the hospital and they say, we notice that you have a laundry service that does not employ our members. We would like you to stop using that service and hire another service that would hires our employees.
Right. By the way, I got about a minute. I'm just giving you a little
heads up. Okay. So, go ahead. So basically what the PRO Act would say is, the union can pressure that hospital, to cease doing business with that laundry service, put out a picket line, and then encourage the nurses of that hospital not to go into work, until the hospital fires that laundry service. That's the type of disruptions and economic chaos that would be caused by the PRO Act.
Wow. Before I let you go, and sorry, we have a hard out, but what's the best way? Say someone's listening going, yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
Where can you go? Is there a website? Is there a
sure.
What do you...
Yeah, you can go to our website, agc.org, but also contact your two senators. They are two of three Democrats who have not co-sponsored this bill. Senator Kelly and Senator Sinema need to be educated by the public and by business about the impact that this bill would have on Arizona's economy.
Steve Sandher, the president of the Associated General Contractors of America, AGC.org is the website. Steve, thanks for shining the light on that. We appreciate it, and we'll catch up soon. Okay?
Thanks for your time. Take care.